chapter 1. If you will, we're going to begin reading verse 6. The Bible said, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. There, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. But whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her." And we're going to leave off reading right there. There's a lot more preaching in these verses than we can do this morning, because you wouldn't want to wait and be here that long, all right? Some of you already planning what you're going to eat for lunch, and you're worried about me getting through in time. So trust me, you will be able to eat lunch eventually. All right, but hey, we just want you to focus on the Word of God. The book of Ruth, the whole book of Ruth begins with a decision made by a man named Elimelech to move himself and his family into Moab, and that was the beginning of the book. And when we look at life, the truth of the matter is our life is made up of decisions, multiple decisions. You make decisions. You make decisions every day. You decided to get up this morning. There were some of you that have, you know, if you'd have thought about it, and you said, I could have just laid in the bed a little longer. You know, I could have just done that. And but you made a decision. I'm going to get up. You decided I'm going to get ready, get dressed. I'm going to church, all right? That's what I'm going to do. So all of life's constant decisions, and we make a multitude of decisions every day. We don't usually think a great deal about most of them. They're just, we make them, we go on, don't even consider it. But some decisions that you and I make change our life entirely. And it can be one decision. Now, I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of it's time to decide. There's three individuals in the verses we've read, Ruth, her sister-in-law, Orpah, and their mother-in-law, Naomi. Those three individuals are making a decision. And it was time for them to make a decision. And we just want to look at it this morning. I'm going to try to preach fast because I've got a lot of notes. And if you'll listen fast, we'll get out of here at a decent time, all right? But I always tell you, if I see you listening slow, I'm going to slow down. So you listen fast, I'll preach fast, we'll get out of here, all right? So decision, time to decide. The first decision was we're going to leave. Naomi chose to leave Moab. Now, I've said it before a couple of weeks ago, the decision to go to Moab was the wrong decision. They should have never made that decision. Wrong decision totally. But now she's making the decision to leave. I just want to tell you, she was way late in making that decision. That decision should have been made, all right. The original plan was, hey, we're going to Moab and we're going to sojourn there. But they settled in the land, all right. They should have left before Elimelech died. They dead sure should have left before the two sons died. And long before that, they should have made it. But it was after that that the announcement came that bread was available back in Bethlehem, Judah. Hey, they should have left before they got that announcement. They should have left long before they did. But I'm amazed, though, at folks that continue when they ought to quit. Folks continue when they ought to quit. I see people that they've got a sin issue. They continue to sin, even though it's giving them a beating. I mean, just working them up one side and down the other, but they keep doing it. It's extracting a high price in their life. But I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing it. Going to keep doing it. You know it's not doing you any good. Man, don't go on in that. You make a choice to leave. That's a good choice to leave. That's sin. Here's Naomi. She finally made the choice to leave. But I want you to see her choice wasn't based on a spiritual level. It was really on a physical, fleshly level. Because she heard the Lord. You read there with me, all right? She heard the Lord had given them bread. In verse 6 said, the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Hey, it was all about the food. All about the food. That was the reason. Nothing spiritual about her decision. It was a decision based upon the physical realm. And, well, we'll go, all right? Hey, a lot of times, if you'll feed folks at church, more people come than when you don't feed them, all right? Because people come for that purpose, all right? And they'll just show up. Hey, she had a right choice. It was a late choice. And it's not necessarily motivated for the right reason, but she made the right choice to leave that land. But then we also see Orpah. Orpah made a choice. Orpah made a choice to leave. Now, if you read these verses, and if you're not familiar with the Old Testament scripture, you scratch your head. And you say, what in the world is Naomi talking about? Here they are. They've started out toward Judah. And then Naomi begins to talk to her daughters-in-law. And she says to them, hey, y'all need to stay here. Y'all need to stay here. Y'all shouldn't go back to your mom's house. Stay here. And then she begins to talk about, you know, hey, there's no more sons in my womb. And if there were and they were born, you wouldn't be willing to wait. Now, we in our land scratch our head and go, huh? But the Old Testament was set up, the Old Testament law and the Old Testament way of doing things. If your brother was married to a woman and the brother died, then the surviving brother would take that widow to be his wife. My sister-in-law there is really glad that's not the way it is now. She's very happy we don't do it that way, all right? Hey, but that was the Old Testament. They would do it that way, all right? They would do things that way. And that was the way it was. So Naomi said, look, I'm too old to have any more kids, and even if I did, you wouldn't want to wait until they were grown to take them to be your husband. You wouldn't want to do that. So you go back. But I want you to notice the reaction of the daughters-in-law, all right? Look at that reaction. They went with her on the way, and she tells them in verse 9, y'all go back. But look at the end of verse 9. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they said, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. What a testimony that was to Naomi as a mother-in-law. What a testimony. Hey, sometimes mother-in-laws don't get along with the daughter-in-laws. And man, there's not, you talk about there's animosity, there's anger, and all of that kind of stuff, you know. But the tears and the words that we see here show that, hey, this is a difficult decision for us to make. Because you mean something to us. What a wonderful thing. I tell you, I'm glad I've got a good mother-in-law. I always told her she was my favorite mother-in-law, the best one I'd ever had. She never was real impressed with that because she's the only one I ever had, but the truth of the matter is she was. Right? She's a good mother. She's a good mother-in-law. And boy, and what a blessing it is to have one that way. She wasn't meddlesome. She didn't get into our business. And undoubtedly, Naomi was that kind of mother-in-law. They loved her, all right? But she did wrong, though, in encouraging them to go back, all right? Because I want you to see where it says here, all right? I want you to notice how she put it, all right? She told them, you go back to your gods. What a thing to tell somebody. You go back to your gods. Unfortunately, Orpah made the decision to leave Naomi's and Naomi's God and return to the land of Moab, the land of idolatry, the land of false worship. Hey, I'll tell you, you can't make a worse decision than to choose the wrong God. You just can't do it. Somebody said, well, they're all alike. No, they aren't. There's only one true God. There's only one true God. All the world doesn't worship the same God under different names. And people tell you that, that's not true, okay? Hey, there's only one God that had a son. One God that had a son, sent that son to this earth to take upon himself the form of a man, to be born and fashioned as a man, to live on this earth, to live a sinless life, and then willing to go to the cross to pay a debt for me and you. Only one God did that. That is the true God. That's the one God that gives us the offer of eternal life if you'll take His Son as your Savior. Hey, all the other gods are false gods. All the other gods. Don't choose the wrong God. Don't do that. Orpah chose to leave. But I want you to focus on Ruth. I want you to focus on Ruth, because Ruth did not listen to her mother-in-law. Ruth did not follow the example of her sister-in-law. She didn't do it. She said, no, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to cleave. I'm going to cleave. All right? And that's exactly what the Bible says in verse 14, Ruth clave unto her. That would be, that descriptive word is like saying, not that she just hung around, but she grabbed hold and held on, said, nope, I'm with you. I am with you. And what a choice she made when she chose to cleave to Ruth, all right? It was a choice of a termination type, if you will. Notice what she said to her mother-in-law, all right? Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following thee. Ruth basically said, knock it off. Heard enough of that. I've heard enough of you saying, go back to your people and go back and do your thing, go back to your gods. You quit encouraging me to go in the wrong direction. I'm not going that direction. Hey, you talk about that is an absolutely resounding no to temptation. She said, I'm not going. I'm not going to do it. I mean, the picture Naomi painted for Ruth was not a beautiful picture. It wasn't a picture of, hey, there's plenty. We'll be well off back in Bethlehem, Judah, and everything will be good. No, sir. They were going back poor. They were going back with nothing, all right? And she said, really, there's no husband for you there. Those really aren't your people. You stay here with yours. And Ruth said, knock it off. I'm not listening to you. I'm not going back. I'm not going to do it. Hey, a resounding no. Well, can I say this to you? If you're ever tempted and temptation comes along, and you will be, you don't overcome it if you don't stand up against it. You don't overcome it by saying, well, I'll just look. No. You overcome it with that resounding solid, no, not going to have anything to do with it. Most of you know, a few months ago, I was on a diet. And in the course of that diet, it was a very limited diet. It's what you could eat. But somebody was celebrating something, and we went as a family, myself, my wife, and my son and his kids, we went to Mexican Inn. I have no idea how you feel about Mexican Inn. But I believe God's in that stuff there that they serve. I like that food, all right? And I really like their chips. Man, they come out in those strips. I love them. I love their salsa. And so I thought, I'm going to be careful. I'm not ordering what I would normally order here. I'm going to order, you know, the fajita thing and got to cook it just this way. And I'm going to eat that salad and the fajita salad. And we went through all of it. That's what I'm going to eat. But they brought out those chips. And I thought, just one. That's all I had. One bowl. Because one chip led to another, all right? The first one said, hey, you know you like me. The second one said, come on, I'm just as good as he was, all right? I'm telling you, every one of them knew my name, all right? The only way, now I'd been, you may not think so, but I'd been to Mexican Inn before and I'd had that salad that I was planning to eat at a different one and I didn't eat any chips that day because I said, no! But that second time was, I'm just going to eat one. Hey, can I say this to you? When you're dealing with temptation, it's got to be a resounding no. Amen. Cannot be a negotiation. It cannot be, we're going to work this out, we're going to try it. No, it's got to be a solid no. That was Ruth's answer to Naomi. What a choice she made. Hey, it was a choice of separation. Separation. Look there what she said to her. She said, whether thou goest, I will go. Ruth was ready. She was willing to separate herself from her people in Moab. Now, I'll be honest with you. The people of Moab were an ungodly crowd. You read all through the Bible that is the picture that's presented of them over and over again. Very ungodly crowd. And Ruth said, I'm going to separate from them. And I am going with you. And whither thou goest, I will go. I'm done with that ungodly bunch, that bunch of idol worshipers. I'm done with it. Boy, we live in a time so many today don't really and truly want to draw a clear line of separation from worldliness and from sin and from Satan's desire and Satan's directives. Instead, we try to walk that line as close as we can. We try to stay just close as we can. But Ruth said, man, I want to change my direction, all right? And I want to change my dwelling place. I'm not going back to that same spot. And I'm going with you. I'm separating from that. I want to tell you, every child of God ought to make the same decision. Every child of God ought to say, hey, I'm separating myself from this whole world. I'm not going to be like them. I'm not going with them. I'm not going to dwell where they dwell. I'm going in a different direction. Hey, if you'll do that and you find yourself going a different direction from the ungodly crowd and dwelling in Canaan rather than in carnality, that's what you're supposed to do. We're supposed to draw that line. Whither thou goest, I will go. Hey, now you say, well, we don't have a Naomi to follow, but we've got a Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you, if you follow Him, you're going to separate yourself from this old world. Man, hardest thing in the world today is to get people to separate from the worldliness of the day in which we live. We're inundated with it all the time. Inundated with it. I can remember, man, I know I'm old, but I can remember when, you know, you didn't hear on television the profanity that's there today. Nothing even close to it. Man, but today we're inundated with it. And the sad thing is I know of professing Christians who use that profanity, all right? God help you separate yourself from that garbage. Hey, I'm following you, Lord. Where you go, I'll go. And where the Holy Spirit leads, I'll follow. He's not going to lead you to dwell in that world. He's not going to lead you to a life that includes sin. He's going to lead you to a life that's clean. It's clean. It's going to be that way, where if we'll just separate ourselves, that was her choice. Her choice was a choice of separation, all right? But not only that, it was a choice with absolutely no reservation. You look at what she said, all right? She said, whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Plain and simple. She said, I'll go where you go, and I'll lodge where you lodge. There's no small print in the agreement. No small print in the agreement. I'm amazed today when you engage in any kind of agreement and contract, you got to be so stinking careful. Because people don't tell you the truth. They won't tell you all of the truth. They kind of shift things around, you know. They hide things. They hope you won't read the small print. But those small print, that's the reservation. But wait a minute, that's the way we follow God so often. We don't cleave unto Him the way Ruth said here. We cleave unto Him and we say, I will do this unless. We have reservations, all right? We put in the disclaimers. We want to make it plain. We want to give ourselves the wiggle room, if you will, to get out of that agreement, all right? But that wasn't the way Ruth was. Ruth said, I will go where you go, and I'll lodge where you lodge. There was nothing in there about unless or but or however or if. No, it was just plain and simple. Plain and simple. I'll go there. I'll stay with you. You can count on me. Nothing held back. Nothing held back. No reservations. What can I say that to you? That's the way God's people ought to cleave unto Him. That's the way we ought to do it. No reservations. I'm not holding back on you. I'm not holding out on you. Everything I've got. Oftentimes you hear these words that are sung. Well, you used to. Haven't heard it now in a long time, but these words were taken and put into a song, put to music, and they would be sung at a wedding. Whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. And it goes on. So how do you know it? I've sung it at weddings before. But I'll tell you what, the truth of the matter is, that word, that song is sung, but in the back of the mind is, unless there's a reservation. Reservation. You know, that wedding vow is, to you and you alone, I'll give you my love, my heart, for better or for worse. And well, we didn't know it was going to get that bad. Sometimes it does get bad. Well, I'm getting out. I got a reservation clause. No, you don't. Not with God. Not with God. You ought to be careful about getting in, okay? You ought to be very careful about getting in. She was one that said, I'm in, nothing held back. No reservation. And notice what she said. She said, whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And he said, thy people shall be my people. It was a choice of identification. She said, I'm one with you and your people. Your people are going to be my people. She wanted to be described as a member of Ruth's family. And by the way, we're going to see that in the book of Ruth. That's what happened. She became part of Ruth's family, all right? It's exactly what happened. I look at it to you and I, and compare it to us. If you want to be described as a Christian, then you need to associate yourself and cast in your lot with believers. Those that are born again. I'm one of them, all right? I'm one of them. Hey, I'll tell you right now, I'm an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist preacher. That's what I am. I'm not ashamed to be identified with them. Now, I'm ashamed of what some of them do. But I'm not ashamed to be identified with them. But I guarantee you there's a whole bunch I don't want to be identified with. Don't want anything to do. Don't want to be identified with. But I'm glad to be what I am. Glad to be a child of God. Don't hesitate to say it. I'm glad I belong to Him. And I don't mind somebody accusing me of being a Christian. On occasion here and there, I've had somebody say, "You must be a preacher." Well, I've never thought, "Oh no, you figured it out." I'm not ashamed to be a preacher. Not at all. I'm willing to be identified with that. And I tell you what, we cleave unto the Lord. It's going to be a matter of identification. Lord, your people are going to be my people. Your people are going to be my people. That I love coming to church. Why? That's where the Lord's people meet. Where the Lord's people meet. I've been to other churches in years gone by, and I can remember before walking into a church and immediately feeling at home. Immediately feeling at home. Man, these are the people of God. I think they're the best people in the world. The people of God, to be identified with Him. But I want to say this to you. You can't stay in Moab and be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, "Well, where's Moab?" All right, you can't stay in the world and then be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm just going to put it out there, all right? You can't belly up to the bar on Friday and Saturday night and put down a couple of cold ones, all right? And then say, "Well, I'm identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday." No, you've chose to identify with the wrong crowd, all right? You've chose to identify with the wrong crowd. Ruth clave unto Naomi. You and I are to cleave unto God, all right? Happy to be identified as sold out believers. Be identified with them. I don't want to be anything else, all right? Don't want to be anything else. There was a time when the Saints, the New Orleans football team, was really struggling. And if you remember that, I don't know if you're a fan, but not necessarily them, but a football fan, they would go to the stadium and they'd be wearing sacks over their head. All right? They wear a sack over their head where you couldn't identify them, all right? And the idea was, we're kind of ashamed. We're a fan, but we're ashamed to be a fan, you know. We're just ashamed of this bunch that we have to root for, you know, all right. Hey, I want to tell you something. I've never felt like I need to come to the house of God with a sack over my head. I'm not ashamed to be identified with God's people. We ought to be identified with them. So her choice was a choice of identification. But man, then it was a choice of dedication. Would you look at the last part of that verse there in verse 16? She said this, "And thy God, my God." Now I'm going to tell you this. This was the supreme decision she made. This was the absolute supreme decision she made, was your God is going to be my God. Tell you this, I think it was the reason for all the other choices. The reason she was willing to say, "Whether thou goest, I will go," is because she said, "Your God's going to be my God." The reason she was willing to say, "Where you lodge, I will lodge," is because her God was going to be hers. The reason she was willing to say, "Thy people shall be my people," is because she had already made the decision, "Your God's my God. Your God's my God." She made the break from idolatry down in Moab to serving the one true God. There is no greater decision for a person to make in this day other than saying, "God is going to be my God. The God of the Bible, the God of creation, He's my God. He's my God. No other God," all right? It's not, "I'm going to make Him one God among many that I serve." Nope. He's the God, and I'm going to serve Him. Boy, that was the dedication she came with. Said, "That God, your God, Jehovah God, is going to be my God." What a decision on her part to cleave unto Naomi, but at the same time, it was a decision about who God was for her. And man, she took that step, she did it, but then it was a choice. Look at verse 17. "Where thou diest, will I die." and there will I be buried. So what are you getting at, preacher? I'm telling you this. You talk about no reservations, it was a decision of no turning back. She said, this is a lifetime decision. I'll stick with it, and it's a decision I'll make until I die. I'm not going to change my mind. Only death, Naomi, is going to separate you and me. Only death. That's the only thing that's going to separate us. Hey, that's so different from people today. We make decisions today and they don't last. We make decisions while we're on the mountaintop, but when we get in the valley, we end the decision. We stop it. Well, like I mentioned earlier, hey, I didn't think it's going to get this bad. All right, fine. We made the wrong decision, okay? We decide we're not going to stick with it. Hey, we bail out on decisions when things go different than what we expected them to go. We peel off and we say, I'm not doing it. I'm done, all right? Now, wait a minute. Like I said, we dedicate ourselves to God when we're on the mountain. But then he lets us go through the valley and we bail out on him. Oh, listen, don't do that. Don't do that. What an example Ruth gives us. What an example. She said, listen, Naomi, I'm going to die where you die. I'm going to be buried where you're buried. And then she seals it, said, the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Kind of reminds me of Job. Well, Job made the statement, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me. Hey, she made a decision that was a life-changing decision. It made all the difference. Because she made that decision, you get in the New Testament, you read Ruth's name. In the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would have never happened. Hey, Orpah made the decision to leave. Kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. See ya. I'm going back to the world. We never heard another word of her. We don't know anything happened to her. No idea what went on. But we know something about Ruth. We know something about Ruth. Hey, she had a great-grandson. I believe it's a great-grandson. Now, don't jump on me too if I don't have the genealogy memorized exactly right. She had a great-grandson named David took the throne. Later on down the line, generations later, there was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find her name in there. Why? She made a decision to cleave. She said, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm sticking it out. I'm sticking it out. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is a day of decisions. It's a day to make a decision. It's time to make a certain, constant, unchanging decision. We waffle too much. We waffle too much. I'm going to use that illustration, if you don't mind, of the diet that I went on. Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't enjoy that diet at all. The food I was eating tasted good. It wasn't that it was not flavorful, okay? And I didn't have to eat a bunch of stuff I didn't like. But the stuff I couldn't eat is what I really like, okay? But I made a decision. I said, I'm going to lose this weight. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm tired of it. I'm going to get rid of it. Made a decision. And I made a decision to cleave to that diet plan I was given. Wasn't fun. Wasn't exciting. But it produced the results I wanted. I'm going to tell you something. Years ago, I made a decision to cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to him and said, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And that was the best decision I ever made in my life, man. Best decision. Only one above it was to get saved to begin with, all right? Boy, you need to make that kind of decision, all right? Not a decision to say, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm going to cleave to you, Lord. Saving the good times and the bad, I'm cleaving to you. I'm just going to stick with you, all right? I'm going to stick with you through thick or thin, through good times or bad, shouting or suffering, famine or plenty. I'm with you. I'm with you. See, we want to make a decision on our terms and our way and say, as long as everything runs good, I'll be a dedicated Christian. There's people that will come to church as long as things are going okay. They'll come to church. And it gets too good, you know, or it gets bad, they quit on God. They blame God to get bitter and say, well, God did this, God did that, and bitter at Him. There's other people that will come to church as long as it's tough. When they're struggling, they'll come to church. Having a hard time, man, life's difficult, they come to church. God begins to bless them. I could call the name of some folks that were members of this church. And man, as long as they were struggling, they were faithful in church, taught Sunday school, they were involved, but things got going good and they're doing well, can't get them to go to church. I was eating lunch with one of them and they made a statement to a waiter, this is my pastor. So, why don't you come to church then? And it's almost like, well, everything's good, we don't need you. But that really, the truth is, what it is, everything's good, we don't need God. Man, I'm never going to get that good, all right? It's never going to get that good for me. I'm going to cleave unto Him. Cleave unto Him. Ruth made a decision. She said, whither thou goest, I'll go. Whither thou lodgest, I'll lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. And it's till death. Till death. Now I'm going to tell you something. If you decide to stick your life together with God, God does not promise you, like some people preach in this day, that you won't have any trouble, you'll be healthy and wealthy, never have a problem, it'll never rain on your parade. I just want to tell you something. That's not true. But I'll tell you this, you'll never have to go through anything by yourself. Because He said, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. So, well, it's real dark. It's all right, He'll be there. He'll be there. Tough times, the valley's deep. He'll be there. He'll be there. You can count on it. You can count on it. I want to ask you this morning, what's your decision? You going to leave? You going to cleave? It's your choice. Your choice. Don't make a mistake. Cleave unto God. Listen, if you're here this morning and never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to cleave unto Him. He's the only way to heaven. The only way to heaven. Preached a funeral yesterday for a fellow I've known for many years. And I told the folks there, I said, I want you to understand the misconception about heaven. The world's filled with people today that think I'm going to be okay. I'll get to heaven because I'm a good person and I've been a good dad or been a good grandpa. I've been a good worker. I'm just a good person all around. I tell you, that's not going to get you to heaven. You must be born again. And unless you're born again, you're not going to heaven. Will not happen. You've got to trust the Savior. If you've never done that, we invite you to do that this morning. We invite you to do that. But listen, you're here and you say, well, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Good. Did you make a choice of separation? Did you make a choice of identification? Identified with Him? Did you make that choice of no reservation? I'm with you, Lord, no matter what. Hey, and I'm with you till I die. How about you? What choice have you made? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed?